mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the game to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Insanity runs in my family.
Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is.
This is Jake, the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man!
Fire it up, hold up!
Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people? On dope?
That was my skull! I'm so wasted!
Make a move and the bunny gets it.
Dave's not here!
All right, Mona, it's all yours. Take it away.
Here we are. Thank you very much for joining us here at revolution.radio. We are listener supported, so please remember to go ahead and put us in your thoughts and prayers and checkbooks. So yeah, everybody, thank you very much for being a part of the revolution.radio on this 30th day of September 2021. Okay, in and out of the room, so it's all just par for the course. Yep, but there is one thing that has been questioned and going around, and since I've seen it twice, I figure that's about what we need to do, is bring this information to the forefront. So, without even thinking about it, because that's to think about it. Yes, we're probably, a lot of us are part of the minority, right? Not majority. We're not going to go for some stinking, flipping, experimental bunch of bull crap. No, because it just isn't going to do us any good to flip and follow something that's out to kill us. So, all right. Here we go. Stu Peter is going to talk to Dr. Carrie. So here she goes. Here it goes. Yeah, you can do it. Come on. I'm going to take your time now. Did I do something wrong? Oh, come on. Let's take it to the end. And then put it back at the beginning, stop it, and start. Nope. I thought I was going to do this video anyway before it came up in chat. There it goes, coming up in chat. Now I got to refresh the page. Because that's what's being told what to do at this moment in time, this Thursday. Let's see. There is no momentary lapse of transits going on now, so. Nope. Not till 7:31. So be cautious at 7:31, people. Who knows what might happen. Oh, pardon me. Because it will be moon. Oh, Venus squared Jupiter at 7:31. Sure don't want that, because it could be
shining up.
Come on.
Big bright light into the crevices of darkness, exposing the cockroaches, watching them scatter every day, including this 29th day of September 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. Well, to prove that there is nothing to fear from vaccine boosters, resident White House dementia patient Administrator Joe Biden publicly received a Pfizer booster shot on Monday. At least that's what we are told to believe, because that's what the media showed us on TV. Has to be legit. One day later, the White House announced that the president's trip to Chicago is postponed, supposedly so he can negotiate with lawmakers about the Democrats' big spending bill. But no, you won't see him in public in that span. Why, do you ask? The Biden administration is still pursuing its plan to force a vaccine into the arms of every living and breathing organism that scours, crawls on, or occupies America, regardless of age, health status, or religious conviction. But that dictatorial push just isn't enough. So they're also expanding their push to booster shots. Of course, those will be mandatory soon as well. Soon, everybody will be paying their mandatory tribute to Pfizer, to Moderna, to Johnson & Johnson every 6 months for the right to travel, go outside, hold a job, have a life. And they're racing forward aggressively. Even the CDC's own advisory committee on immunization practices voted against endorsing booster shots for healthcare workers and teachers. But last Friday, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky just overruled them. The Biden administration's political priorities come first, and that means more vaccines being forced into more arms. Dr. Carrie Madej says that she's personally examined multiple vials of the vaccines that are being forced into people's arms, and she says that she was horrified by what she saw. She says she cried harder than she ever has before. She says other American labs have looked at the contents of the vaccine vials, only to shut down shortly after. And Dr. Carrie Madej joins us now. Doctor, thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu. It's my pleasure to be here.
So you sent these images to the show. I've looked at them. I have to say that I was creeped out, but then again, I realized I don't know what I'm looking at here, so help me out.
Okay, so first of all, the it was in July that a local lab in Georgia said they wanted me to examine contents of a vial that they had just received. This vial was fresh. It had already been used to be injected into at least one patient because it was the end of the day. They were going to discard it. So they were able to get the vial. And this particular vial was Moderna. And so I was there to witness them getting that and putting some of the contents on a glass slide with a compound microscope to look at it. And it was only, nothing was added to this solution. Nothing was diluted. No human tissue was added. Only the white light for the microscope. And of course, over time, it was becoming more room temperature from the refrigeration. That was it. And so at first it looked just translucent. And then as time went on over 2 hours, colors appeared, which I've never seen anything like this. There wasn't a chemical reaction happening. It was a brilliant, like blue and royal purple and a yellow and sometimes green. And so these colors appearing, I did not know what that was after investigating more. A superconducting material can do that with white light being emitted to it. Okay, a superconducting material would be something like an injectable computing system. Anyhow, these fibers were appearing more and more. Some of the fibers had a little cube structure on it. I'm not sure what that was. And also metallic fragments were in there. They were not metallic fragments I'm used to seeing, more exotic. They're very opaque, as well as as the edge of the cover slide goes, so the cover slip, when you put a glass partition on that or a piece on top of the glass slide, there are edges. And so all the particulates, all these colors started to move to the edge, and there was self-assembling going on. Things were growing. They looked synthetic. And then there was one particular, I'd say object or organism, I'm not sure what to call it, that had tentacles coming from it. And it was able to lift itself up off of the cover, I'm sorry, off of the glass slide.
It was alive? The thing was alive?
It appeared to have be self-aware or be able to grow or move in space. I mean, all I can tell you is this is not something they taught us in medical school, nothing in my laboratories, nothing that I've seen before. And I've showed this to other people in the field and they don't know what it is either. And I thought when I first saw this and I kept looking at it over and over again, I had a colleague with me and we both thought, wow, this almost appears like it's self-aware, like it knows we're watching it. It's just an intuition, a feeling of mine, but was very upsetting. And so after two and a half hours, everything was destroyed, of course. And then I thought, well, maybe that was a fluke in a way. Maybe that was just that one vial. And so, just recently the lab was able to get more vials and same manufacturer, but, different batch, of course, looking at it the same way under the compound microscope. And another one of those tentacle-like structures appeared. This was now completely under the cover slip. So there was no movement because it wasn't on the edge, but I just couldn't believe I saw another one. And, it's same thing, same colors appeared over time, these fibers, there. And this time I need to get, if they do it again, have to get a video from them. There was actually motion that you could see in the video. So, this is very concerning, and also was able to look at the contents of a Johnson & Johnson vial, and there's definitely a substance that looked like graphene. They all had graphene-like structures in there. Whether or not they were, I don't have the capability of testing them, nor did this lab, but that's what they appeared to be. They had fatty substances, like a sticky glue-like substance that would be considered a hydrogel in those, both of them, right? So that means they're lying. They're lying to us about the Johnson & Johnson, about not having nanolipid particles or anything of that substance, and it does. And in the the Johnson & Johnson, they also had colors appeared. Their colors were different. They were like a fluorescent pastel kind of color. Again, a lot of synthetic structures in there as well. In the Johnson & Johnson, more like the spherical ring structures were there, a lot of sphere structures. These, I'm describing what I'm seeing, but I've never seen anything like this before. They're not supposed to be in these injections they're falsely calling vaccines. What are they going to do to somebody? What are they going to do to a child?
It's horrific.
I started crying when I saw these, second time under the microscope, because it was confirmation of everything I saw the first time.
If I were looking into a microscope at something that I was told was a vaccine to promote health and safety, and some self-aware tentacle equipped creature started moving, I would probably run out of the laboratory. I mean, that's just me. I'm not scared of a lot, but that is scary that is going into the blood of global citizens. And you're right. They want to push this into our children.
Yes. This was about 400 times magnification. So we don't have, more information than that, but, people need to really, really, really stop and think about what is happening right now. And it doesn't make sense. If it doesn't make sense, don't go and rush to a decision that you could regret. Something's not right in the world. I think we all know that right now. And to me, it's definitely on the level of a spiritual warfare, looking at it under the microscope, absolutely. And, this pushes me, this inspires me to make more of these, maybe videos, if we can get the lab to get more of these samples, to do them in real time, so you can actually see what we're doing, to have proof of, yes, this is what is happening. This is what we are seeing. So you yourself can see what is happening under the microscope, because I don't think you need to have any science background. When you look at it, you'll see that something isn't right. This isn't supposed to be injected into human beings.
So when you first, especially children, before you started talking about this self-aware, whatever it is that lifted itself up off of the glass, you mentioned something about an injectable computing system. What do you make of that?
Yeah. So when colors just appeared in the solution, I mean, I'm talking about, there's no color or very little. All of a sudden, the most brilliant blue, the most brilliant yellow, the most brilliant purple appeared, and more and more and more and more over time. I've never seen anything be able to do that besides something, unless you added another substrate for a chemical reaction. It has to react with something. I didn't know what could do that. And so I started to talk to some nanotech engineers and genetic engineers, and they told me the only thing they knew of that could do that was a white light, which a white light did hit it. The microscope has a white light. A white light over time will make the reaction on a superconducting material. Superconducting is like an injectable computing system. So this is where the electronic components can now become visible under white light, so you know where they are. So this is proof that they are putting an operating system inside people. This happened in both the Moderna and the Johnson & Johnson samples that we observed. So, these are all, we're getting little pieces of evidence put together one by one by one, but everything is pointing to the very ominous, endpoint of, this is the beginning or the advent of transhumanism, or this is the beginning or advent of being able to have surveillance and spying done on people, just like Bill Gates said he's doing right now in West Africa. People need to remember that the Gates Foundation, or at least Bill Gates and Gavi, his company, is working with MasterCard and Trust Stamp, an artificial intelligence program, testing it on the people of West Africa with their COVID vaccines, injections, I should say, giving them a digital ID. They can only get their monetary funds through the digital ID and MasterCard, no other way, no cash, nothing. And this, in all their medical records and information downloaded into this digital format in their body. And they said in this program, this research experiment they're doing on the people, they said, well, if this substance is inside of them, this hydrogel substance, of course. Why don't we use it for surveillance and predictive policing? We are. We're going to start using it for surveillance and predictive policing on the people of West Africa right now. They've been doing that since July of 2020. And they said once they have it perfected, they would like to unveil it to all the developed nations. And what are they calling it? The wellness pass, which is also known as a vaccine passport. So how are they doing that, right, Stu? They have to put something inside your body to be able to monitor you and know everything that you're doing. So people need to wake up. What could they put inside your body for that to happen? How would they do it? I think Gates is already admitting to us how he's doing it or how he wants to do it. How much does it take? I don't know. I just know that I'm seeing these things with my own eyes, things that don't make sense, things that look like they could be used for, you know, so they look like they are the advent of starting something of artificial intelligence inside the human body. And we know that the people in charge aren't to be very trustworthy at all. They've lied many times to us. The manufacturers have lied many times to us. So this is the time that we do not, we don't take this anymore. We don't take this kind of oppression and suppression. We're better than that. We are children of God. We choose to be, right?
And absolutely.
I for one will not stand for it.
So just to wrap up here, and I know that you got to go, but I just, for responsibility purposes, you've examined things under microscopes before. You know what you're doing with a microscope. These vials that you, multiple vials that you examined, you have kept track of the chain of custody. Nothing was inserted into these things before you were able to look at them. I mean, this is all on the up and up. And this is the genuinely the contents of what is found in multiple lots now, you have said, of the Moderna and the J&J vials.
Yeah, at least three batches. At least three batches, yes. That is correct.
It's awful. Mm-hmm. It's horrific. I can understand why you cried. Dr. Carrie Madej, thank you so much. And when you do have those videos, we trust that you'll come back here to share those with the audience. I mean, people need to know what it is that's being pushed on them. People need to know that this isn't just your everyday run-of-the-mill health and wellness prevention. There's none of that going on here. So we appreciate
it.
We appreciate it.
Thanks. Yes. Thanks, Stuart. Thanks for having me on the show. And I'm happy to come on in the future and share more as I get more information.
Great. Thank you so much. God bless you. Those images that we just looked at together, and then hearing the way that Dr. Carrie Madej describes the way that she felt viewing those images through a microscope, horrific, alarming, very concerning. And we have to be worried about being around people when we talk about things like transmission and shedding, the people who have already gotten this thing. You got to stay healthy. Dr. Vladimir Zev Zelenko saved thousands of lives in upstate New York. He's a genius, which is why he's a Nobel Prize nominee, a Presidential Medal of Freedom nominee, boasts a 99.9% survival recovery rate of all of the patients, the high-risk COVID patients that he treated. He has put together his Z-Stack. The Z-Stack protocol can be found at zstackprotocol.com. All of the things that you can go to the pharmacy and put together yourself if you want to. If you don't want to worry about dosing, figuring it all out on your own, he's got it all in one pill. You can find it at zstackprotocol.com when we're talking about these chimerically engineered viruses. Who knows what it is that's floating around out here. Got to stay healthy. Early treatment protocol is the key. Find it at zstackprotocol.com. Again, zstackprotocol.com. The Stu Peters Show continues right now.
All right, unmute. Come on. One of them days, huh? Come on. Unmute. Come on. There we are. For how long? Until we get back from break, I'm sure. But yeah, they are definitely just putting stuff that you don't even want to know that's in there. I mean, oh my gosh. And it did. It looked, it was ugly. uglier than a Nom Nom parasite that the black goo looks like. And it did. It had legs like a spider. I can only think it could be pre-Morgellons, but then again, Morgellons comes from a different nanobot. That basically is dropped from the sky.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. In your chemtrails. But hey. Yeah, it is playing tricks. Yes, they are. They are playing tricks, my mute button. Just to see if I'm going to get hyper about it or not. But I won't. I try my best not to get hyper over stuff that really doesn't matter. Plus, it's not in my control, so it's not like I can, you know, get ticked off out of stuff out of my control. Just horrible. Yep. How they're going after people and other stuff like that. It's just very, very scary to a degree of what we really are witnessing and going through. Yep. Not by our choice. Nope, not in the least. Not our choice. I think that's what makes it worse, is that I am not conceding to give these things permission whatsoever to become a part of me or mine or whatever. Nope. I know you're right there, music, trying.
You. If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
Lost a little honey on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Revolution. Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We haven't heard much from this lady, but recently, anyway, I haven't seen much coming on. Guess you have to go to her own site, the Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Yep, she's being persecuted for speaking out. Yep. Yeah, well, need phones anymore. I am so over all this BS of this supposedly New World Order bullshit. I mean, seriously, we gotta quit allowing them to flip and take away our life and our existence to their betterment. Let's see. Sherry, tell us something good. I apologize for them taking over your life and basically destroying your good name.
When the Jews return to Zion, and a comet rips the sky, and the Holy Roman Empire rises, then you and I must die. From the eternal sea, he rises, creating armies on either shore, turning man against his brother. Till man exists no more.
folks. Welcome to the channel. This is Waking Up the Sheep here on BitChute. And I wanted to go over a quick article with you that concerns Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who's on the formal front of the COVID pandemic and what's actually going on with it. And on my channel, I have many videos, or not many, but a few videos with her, and especially on the most viewed on the right-hand side, you'll see, you know, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny exposes COVID-19 and says that the vaccine kill you within a year, but it's really, as the, you know, that video goes on, it actually talks about 2 to 3 years down the road, and a lot of people have actually died instantly from taking the COVID vaccine, folks. And I'm sure you know that because here on BitChute, there's a lot of awake people. But I want you to share this with people who are not awake so they know that we are in an information war, folks. And we're in a spiritual war, too. This whole thing has multifaceted things, and it's really demonic. And what's happening, folks, is you have the mainstream media, who is absolutely lying at every level. They are the biggest liars on planet Earth. And it's sad to see it, too, because a lot of these people in the positions of, like, anchors, like, you know, let's take Lester Holt from NBC and all these people, you know, they're more concerned about the money they make and the job they have rather than blow the whistle on the whole thing. I mean, a lot of these people know the truth of it. Now, what's happening here is this article is from September 25th by Sophia Ankle. It says a prominent anti-vax doctor who falsely claimed the COVID-19 vaccine should make people magnetic had her medical license renewed, report said. I thought it was going to say she had her license pulled. Let me just tell you something, folks. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is very brilliant. She knows what she's talking about. She researches. She does just like all the other doctors do. The only difference is she hasn't sold out to the New World Order. So they're going to attack credible doctors and try to make them look like kooks and quacks, which they try to do in this article. And, you know, I got to come to her defense because I've watched many interviews with her and I know how brilliant and intelligent she is. And she tells the truth and she's not a quack and she knows what she's talking about. So let me read the article here. This is insane, folks. I mean, like, anyone that doesn't go along with the narrative of the WHO or the CDC, the CDC is full of demons and witches and warlocks. That Dr. Michelle Walensky from the CDC, she is the biggest witch in North America. And I'm not saying, when I say witch, you know how someone will say that to be derogatory. I'm saying she's literally a witch, folks. These people are demonic and satanic. Anyways, and by the way, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is a Christian. So there's no other, I mean, there's also the persecution of that getting on her. So we have to defend her. Anyways, it says, look at this, in this article, Sherry Tenpenny, an American anti-vaccine activist and conspiracy theorist. Oh, everything's a conspiracy theory, right? But it's actually, it's fact, folks. When they call someone a conspiracy theorist, it means that you're over the target. There's an old saying in military talk, you know you're over the target when you're taking a lot of flack. In other words, if you're getting hit from all sides, you know that you're over the target that you have to be. So this is definitely an information war. Okay, here we go. Let's read the article. There's Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. We all know what she looks like. If you don't, that's what she looks like. And this was back on, it was on the Ohio channel. And it was like a couple of months ago, I think. But it says a prominent anti-vax doctor had her medical license reviewed this month. The Ohio Capitol reported Dr. Sherry Tenpenny told Ohio lawmakers in June that COVID-19 vaccines could make people magnetic. Now, folks, that's absolutely true because I have videos on my channel to prove that. And not only can I tell you that that's absolutely a fact, I tested people I know that took the vaccine and quarters and everything were sticking to their arms. So I've done it. I know that it exists. And all you have to do, if you don't believe that that's true, go and find someone who you know got vaxxed, have them, you know, do it where they were vaxxed. And if they've gotten even more vaccines, like two or three of them are booster shots, it's even worse. It's actually even more magnetic. They're putting graphene oxide, folks, in the vaccines, and a whole slew of other horrible things like squalene and thimerosal, which is a derivative of mercury. And then you have the attenuated diseased thing that they're trying to put into you, okay, with a whole bunch of other things. Now, I'm not a medical doctor and I'm not a scientist, but I'm definitely a researcher, folks. And I'm telling you, they are lying. The news is lying, and they're trying to make doctors out to be like quacks and idiots. And she is like one of the most brilliant doctors around, if not the most brilliant, okay? And then you have Dr. Madej, who's really smart too, M-A-D-E-J, Dr. Kerry Madej. I mean, I have so many interviews on my thing, on my channel here, and I would ask you all to check them out if you've not seen them. So anyways, let's continue. It says, Tenpenny was recently named one of the 12 most prolific sources of anti-vax misinformation. You got, so I mean, anyone who reports opposite of what the CDC says is it's misinformation. Folks, I know that this whole world is divided. I know that everyone, you know, it's not a 50-50 split. It's more like it's either 70-30, 70 on the evil side and 30% not, or it's 60-40 or something like that, whatever. But the point of it is, folks, everyone's believing the lie of this COVID pandemic. COVID, there is no COVID-19, folks. There's never been. You try to call up any hospital or any engineering institute that tests vaccines and ask them for an isolated, you'd like to have a little particulate isolate because you're testing it because you would like to know about science, right? They'll never be able to give you one. There's no isolated thing. The PCR tests that they have are all fake. Well, they're not actually fake. When I say fake, they are geared to come up 90% of the time or higher positive testing for a thing that they call COVID, right? Which is certificate of vaccination identification. That is what it stands for, and that is what they created it for. Now, Carrie Mullis, who was the inventor of the PCR test, told the CDC back 15 years ago never to use this test because it would come up and test falsely. And they've amplified the test even higher, 45 times amplification, because they know that whenever it tests for any genetic dead cell debris in the body, it's going to come up and test and say, oh, you have something called COVID. It's a lie, folks. It's been a lie. Okay? You need to like program your mind of that way of thinking. And if you don't believe me, you don't have to take my word for it. There's lots of information out there, folks. Why would they have to censor? Why would they have to censor all the platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, especially Google, from real information? It's because they don't want you having the information. They don't want you having the truth, folks. Okay? So let me continue here. It says a prominent anti-vax doctor from Ohio who pushed the false claim that COVID-19 vaccines could make people magnetic had her medical license renewed, according to the Ohio Capital Journal. I mean, here's the thing. Why would you have to report that a doctor has it renewed? Wouldn't it be better if they said, oh, we took her license away and then make her, you know, discredit her even more, which I'm not hoping that happens to her. I mean, she got it renewed. I mean, this is insane, folks. Like, she's being attacked at all sides. Anyways, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is an osteopathic physician who has spent years making unproven or exaggerated claims about vaccines. And that's not true, folks. Folks, vaccines are proven to do harm to people. They cause autism. They cause Guillain-Barré. Look at all the people. I mean, if you've been on BitChute, if you've been on my channel and you've been watching the videos, there's been thousands of people who have had adverse reactions from the COVID vaccine, and they've died. Prominent people in society Hank Aaron, the ball player who played in the 50s, right? He was a professional baseball player. He died after taking the second shot. Marvin Hagler died after the second shot. Even their own family admitted that. People, they can't hide this forever. All this information, it's just that people who have been brainwashed, like the left-wing nut jobs who think that they're doing by groveling to this new world order in the way they want to run things, and by going along to get along and wearing their masks. I mean, folks, first of all, I don't believe in vaccine science, even though theoretically it probably could work if they were really trying to help people. But all vaccines are meant to kill you, folks. They're meant to kill you slowly and give you things that will come down later on, 5, 6, 7, 10 years down the road, so you can't ever equate or put a connection to them. But when people are taking vaccines and getting sick right away, how about the blood clots that are showing up? How about admittedly the blood clots from Johnson & Johnson? And then they put that back on the market within 2 weeks, folks. They paused. They called it a pause. What the hell is that? I mean, I know that you are an awake audience, folks. I know people who watch my videos, you are awake, but there's still a lot of sleeping zombies out there that we have to wake up. And I'm asking you to, you know, share the videos, share this video with people you know and love and care about, because you don't, when someone gets a stigma put on them, or they're being attacked by someone, and right, no matter whether they're what they're saying they are or they're not, people get these preconceived notions. And see, I've researched Tenpenny for years. I watched her even 10 years ago when she was being interviewed on different stations and by Alex Jones with InfoWars and all this, and I saw all the credible stuff. She was covering other things like the swine flu vaccines and everything. I mean, folks, she knows what she's talking about. She isn't just a regular person that makes up things and says, oh yeah, it's this and that. See, because here's the thing too, a lot of people want to think that, oh, doctors, and they are intelligent and they are smart and they know a lot more than regular people because they've studied for a long time. But we also have to be leery and wary of evil doctors, ones that are lying to us, like Michelle Walensky and friggin' Dr. Fauci. If anyone is the biggest liar and the biggest fraud ever, is Fauci. Fauci is we all know this. I mean, he's in with Bill Gates and all those scumbags. All right, so let me continue here. It says her license first issued in 1984 was due to expire on October 1st. It was renewed by the State Medical Board of Ohio on September 16th. Jerrica Stewart, a spokesperson for the board, confirmed to the Ohio Capital Journal that Tenpenny's license was automatically renewed until 2023. A recent renewal does not prevent the board from taking future disciplinary action, she said, according to the Ohio Capital Journal. Oh, and believe me, folks, they will try to go after her because she's outspoken. She's one of the ones on the forefront of the – it's like putting a Marine on the front lines going into battle, folks. That's exactly what she is. She's a hero in my estimation, and she should be in your eyes, because thank God for good doctors, folks, that will expose the lies of what they're doing. We need more and more to come out. I mean, every doctor was censored. Anyone who had an opinion or a fact of opposite of what the CDC and the WHO said, they attacked them. And that's what they're doing to her. It says Tenpenny attracted nationwide media attention in June after she falsely, which is bullshit. She didn't falsely. She falsely nothing. She told the truth. In June, after she falsely told Ohio House Health Committee that the coronavirus vaccine could potentially make people magnetized. And it did. It did magnetize people, folks. Test it. Do your own testing. Don't believe what I say or what's in this article or even her. Go and do your own testing. Grab a friend. If you haven't been vaccinated, hopefully you haven't, because if you have, you can't untake that vaccine, folks. That vaccine is deadly, and it is meant to kill you. It's a genocide. It's mass genocide. I don't care what anyone says. we will have our vindication, folks, people who have exposed this in the future, because you will see millions of people dying from this. And it is tied into the 5G networks because they're going to mention it here again. Watch. Let's see. You could put a key on the forehead. It sticks. You could. This is when she was telling it, because I watched that Ohio town meeting. It says you can put spoons and forks all over and they can stick because we think there is a metal piece to that, she said. And that's the graphene oxide. The graphene oxide is powder, but it's taken down to the nanoparticle level and it is magnetized, folks. There's a reason it's magnetized, and you're going to see, because I'm going to play a video in the next day or two that's going to blow your mind, and it's going to prove everything I say right here. Anyways, Tenpenny also falsely said that COVID-19 vaccines contain particles that connect a person to 5G mobile networks. Now, let me say this. Yes, there are some idiots out there on the internet who will, do fake videos and go, look, put a light bulb up to me and it lights up and all that. That's because they want to draw people in that are stupid to show videos like that. So then when it comes out that that was false, then they make them look like to be quacks. But the fact is, folks, there are people who are connecting to mobile devices and on their phone coming up and it's saying AstraZeneca. I've seen the videos. I've seen the tests. Now, I haven't tested a friend on that, but I'm going to do that in the near future myself. And I mean, folks, you're either in the know by now or you're not. I mean, we're 2 years into this. This isn't hard to find this information. It really isn't. Tenpenny also falsely said that COVID-19 vaccine, connects to the 5G mobile data networks. The Center for Countering Digital Hate. Look at this. Would they come up with a new agency or something, named Tenpenny among 12 anti-vaxxers responsible for spreading 65% of false information about vaccines in March this year. I guarantee you, Dr. Madej, and let me tell you something. I don't know who is smarter, but Madej, right? Dr. Madej, if you've ever seen Carrie Madej, she knows, I mean, I think she may be a little bit smarter than Tenpenny. She's brilliant. Like, if you've ever seen what she talks about, like, you can just tell that she knows what she's talking about anyways. But the point of it is that I guarantee you she'd be on that list. We're almost done with this. The report caught the attention of President Joe Biden, that scumbag, that piece of garbage. I'm sorry, folks. I'm angry. Everyone should be angry about what's going on. In July, who said these 12 people are out there giving misinformation. Anyone listening to it is getting hurt by it. Oh, really? No, the people who are foolish enough to take the vaccines are going to suffer by taking the vaccines, and they will eventually die. I can guarantee that. If you're not covered in the blood of Jesus, folks, because it all comes down to God, it says in the Bible, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In other words, if they bring a weapon against you, but you are in Christ and you love Christ, God can make it so you'll never get hurt by it. Now, am I saying that? I mean, everyone dies. We're all going to die a physical death someday. But God can do miracles, and he can keep people alive, and he can save them. So you have to put your trust in God. Don't put your trust in man or woman or anything. Put it in God. But with that said, it's just insane. So we have to counter. This is why, thank God, I'm doing this channel, because I'm going to do this until I take my last breath, folks. I will expose this fully as much as I can. I mean, every one of you that have channels out here, I commend you. Everyone who's fighting the good fight for God, thank God you're out here. And let's pray for the people in Australia and England, the people who are being, losing their jobs and, having families disrupted and just everything. I mean, we need to pray at all levels, because the spirit of the Antichrist is on this earth, folks. And that's what's causing all of these problems. Then you got people who are demonically possessed that are in positions of power, like Biden, like Walensky, like Nancy Pelosi, all of these scumbags, Boris Johnson of England, Trudeau of Canada. They're all scum. And I'm sorry that I have to use that word, but that's what they are. These people are terrible. I mean, anyways, it says Tenpenny's Twitter account was permanently suspended in June after the company said her COVID-19 vaccine claims violated misinformation. Of course, because they're all in. Folks, this is a conspiracy to silence everyone. This is a a conspiracy of silence is what it is. Silence to silence the people who are outspoken and that know the truth, because they don't want you to know the truth. That's the bottom line, folks. All right. Insider reached out to Tenpenny for further comment, but she did not hear back in time for publication. Stewart said the Ohio board renews medical licenses automatically to keep up with the 92,000 practitioners in the state. She told Insider that the complaints it receives about physicians are usually confidential, although if a licensee is disciplined by the board, the action is a public record. She did not comment specifically about Tenpenny's renewal, and it's by Mia Janowitz contributed to this report. Yeah, these people are sick, okay, to do this, and they're going to continue to do it, folks. But just because they're attacking her and attacking others, we still have to. I mean, they're going to be a narrative, folks, because this is what propaganda and lies are. So.
Yeah, and boy, aren't they all there. But I'm glad to hear she didn't lose her license, because she really has straightened out a bunch of stuff that we needed to know before we made up our choice of what we were going to allow to have happen in our bodies or not. I do not consent to their system, of their misreality. You know, I just won't.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
We now return to Revolution Radio's very own feral hippie,
Mona Radler.
Welcome back. We're here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Remember, we are listener supported, so please do us that favor. Hook us up. Become a person that loves to support this station like we do. Yes, today is the 30th day of September 2021. So I know my deposit or my donation will work out tomorrow. So, let's see what it is that I can find. Okay, we'll see what this has to say, because we just don't always know, do we? Nope, we just don't always know. Something far worse is still happening, and it's not COVID. How easily we forget. Yes.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here today. A large number of highly radioactive isotopes released by the destruction of the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant grossly contaminated the Japanese mainland. Most of these radionuclides had short half-lives, which meant they would essentially disappear in a matter of days or months. For many of those who were exposed to them, there will be major health consequences. However, there are some radioactive elements that will not rapidly disappear, and it is these long-lived radionuclides that will remain to negatively affect the health of all complex life forms that are exposed to them. Chief among them is cesium-137, which has taken on special significance because it's proven to be the most abundant of the long-lived radionuclides that has remained in the environment following the nuclear disasters at Chernobyl and Fukushima. It has a 30-year radioactive half-life, which is why it persists in the environment. Scientists now believe that it will be 180 to 320 years before the cesium-137 around the destroyed Chernobyl reactor actually disappears from the environment. Cesium is water-soluble and quickly makes its way into soils and waters. It's the same atomic family as potassium, and it mimics it, acting as a macronutrient. It quickly becomes ubiquitous in contaminated ecosystems. It is distributed by the catastrophic accidents of nuclear power plants because large quantities of volatile radioactive cesium build up inside the fuel rods of nuclear reactors. Thus, any accident at a nuclear reactor that causes the fuel rods to rupture, melt, or burn will cause a release of radioactive cesium gas. Long-lived radionuclides, such as cesium-137, are something new to us as a species. They did not exist on Earth in any appreciable quantities during the entire evolution of complex life. Although they are invisible to our senses, they are millions of times more poisonous than most of the common poisons we are familiar with. They cause cancer, leukemia, genetic mutations, birth defects, malformations, and abortions at concentrations almost below human recognition and comprehension. They are lethal at the atomic or molecular level. They emit radiation, invisible forms of matter and energy that we might compare to fire, because radiation burns and destroys human tissue. But unlike the fire of fossil fuels, the nuclear fire that issues forth from radioactive elements cannot be extinguished. It is not a fire that can be scattered or suffocated, because it burns at the atomic level. It comes from the disintegration of single atoms. Thus, radioactivity is a term which indicates how many radioactive atoms are disintegrating in a time period. We measure the intensity of radioactivity by the rate of disintegrations and the energy they produce. One becquerel is equal to one atomic disintegration per second. One curie is defined as that amount of any radioactive material that will decay at a rate of 37 billion disintegrations per second. So one curie equals 37 billion becquerels. Sometimes these man-made radionuclides are compared to naturally occurring radionuclides, such as potassium-40, which is always found in bananas and other fruits. However, this is a false comparison, since naturally occurring radioactive elements are very weakly radioactive. In the charts from the labs that are in green up there, the radioactivity is described as a specific activity. Note that potassium-40 has a specific activity of 71 10 millionths of a curie per gram. Compare that to the 88 curies per gram for cesium-137. It's like comparing a stick of dynamite to an atomic bomb. Highly radioactive fission products such as cesium-137 and strontium-90 emit 10 to 20 million times more radiation per unit volume than does potassium-40. So which one of these would you rather have in your bananas? It is, in fact, the amount of cesium-137 deposited per square kilometer of land that defines the degree to which an area is classified as being too radioactive to work or live. One may get an idea of the extreme toxicity of cesium-137 by considering how little of it is required to make a large area of land uninhabitable. The lands that were grossly contaminated by the destruction of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant are classified by the number of curies of radiation per square kilometer. Were 3,840 square miles of land contaminated with 15 to 40 curies of radiation per square kilometer. These lands are considered strict radiation dose control zones. The 1,100 square mile uninhabitable exclusion zone that surrounds a destroyed Chernobyl reactor has greater than 40 curies of radioactivity per square kilometer. For those more familiar with square miles, that would be 104 curies per square mile. Consider again that 1 gram of cesium-137 has 88 curies of radioactivity. Thus, as little as one-third of a gram of cesium-137 made into microparticles distributed as a smoke or gas over an area of one square kilometer will make that square kilometer uninhabitable. Less than 2 grams of cesium-137, a piece smaller than an American dime, if made into microparticles and evenly distributed over as a radioactive gas over an area of 1 square mile, will turn that square mile into an uninhabitable radioactive exclusion zone. Central Park in New York City can be made uninhabitable by 2 grams of microparticles of cesium-137. Hard to believe, isn't it? Remember, these nuclear poisons are lethal at the atomic level. There are as many atoms in 1 gram of cesium-137 as there are grains of sand on all the beaches of the world. That's 10 to 21 atoms, 10 to the 21st power. 1,480 trillion of them, which is 10 to the 12th power, are disintegrating every second, releasing invisible nuclear energy. So this works out to about 1.5 million disintegrations per square meter. I included an extra slide just to note the immense inventories of cesium-137, 150 million curies that are located in the nearby spent fuel pool at Indian Point Nuclear Power Plant, which is about 40 miles from here by road, and less than that as the radioactive cloud flies. Many of the 104 U.S. commercial nuclear reactors and power plants have more than 100 million curies of cesium-137 in their spent fuel pools. This is many times more than the spent pools at Fukushima. So now that we have some idea of the extreme toxicity of cesium-137, let's look at the extent of the contamination of the Japanese mainland. It's now known that the reactors 1, 2, and 3 at Fukushima Daiichi all melted down and melted through the seal reactor vessels within a few days following the earthquake and tsunami of March 11, 2011. This was not made public by either TEPCO or the Japanese government for 2 months. The greatest amounts of highly radioactive gases released shortly after the meltdowns, and 80% of this gas released by the actors believed to have traveled away from Japan over the Pacific. However, the remaining 20% was dispersed over the Japanese mainland. On March 11th, the U.S. National Nuclear Security Administration offered the use of its NA-42 aerial measuring system to the Japanese and U.S. governments. The National Atmospheric Release Advisory Center of the Lawrence Livermore Lab stood up to provide atmospheric modeling projections. The next two slides were produced by Lawrence Livermore and were presumably given to the Japanese government. On March 14th, the easterly winds, which have been blowing the highly radioactive gases and aerosols coming from Fukushima out to sea, shifted and pushed the radioactive plume back over the Japanese mainland. You can see the progression. The red indicates the radioactive plume. Note that the images indicate that the plume first went south over Tokyo, and then reversed and went north as the wind changed. All the areas where the radioactive gases passed were contaminated. However, the heaviest contamination occurred where rainfall, where it rained out. And this is accounts for the patchy deposition of the radioactive fallout. 8 months after the disaster, the Japanese Science Ministry released this map. That's the one with the, let's see, it would be on your right, which shows that 11,580 square miles, which is 30,000 square kilometers, which represents 13% of the Japanese mainland, have been contaminated with long-lived radioactive cesium. Note that the official map does not note any cesium-137 contamination in the Tokyo metropolitan area, unlike an unofficial survey done about the same time by Professor Yukio Hayakawa of Gunma University. Given the fact that the Japanese government and TEPCO denied for 2 months that any meltdowns that had occurred at Fukushima, one must look at all official data with a healthy degree of skepticism. 4,500 square miles, or earlier today we heard 7,700 square miles, which is an area larger than the size of Connecticut, was found to have radiation levels that exceeded Japan's previously allowable exposure rate of 1 millisievert per year. Rather than evacuate this area, Japan chose to raise its acceptable radiation exposure rate by 20 times, from 1 millisievert to 20 millisieverts per year. However, approximately 300 square miles adjacent to the destroyed Fukushima reactors were so contaminated that they were declared uninhabitable. 159,000 Japanese were evicted from this radioactive exclusion zone, lost their homes, property, and businesses, and most have received only a small compensation to cover the cost of their living as evacuees. Note here that the criteria used for evacuation is a millisievert. It's not a measured quantity of radiation per unit area that I've described, such as the Curie or Becquerel. Rather, the sievert is a calculated quantity. It's calculated to represent the biological effects of ionizing radiation. In other words, the millisievert is a derived number based on the mathematical models which are used to convert the absorbed dose to effective dose. So what is an increased health risk to Japanese based upon their exposure to 20 millisieverts per year? Let's examine the figures constructed on the basis of data published by the National Academy of Sciences. It was provided to me by Ian Gard. The vertical y-axis is calibrated to the number of cancer cases per 100,000 age peers, and the horizontal x-axis depicts the age of the population beginning at 0 years and moving towards old age. Examine the allegedly safe dose of 20 millisieverts per year. As a result of this exposure, there will be about 1,000 additional cases of cancer in female infants and 500 cases of cancer in infant boys per 100,000 in their age groups. There will be an additional 100 cases of cancer in 30-year-old males in their age groups. Now, notice that children, especially girls, are at most risk from radiation-induced cancer. In fact, female infant has 7 times greater risk, and a 5-year-old girl has 5 times greater risk of getting a radiation-induced cancer than does a 30-year-old man. I want to note here that there's a great deal of controversy in regards to the accuracy of the methods used to arrive at the millisievert measurement, especially in regard to an accurate determination of the biological effects of an external versus internal exposure to ionizing radiation. That is, the effects of an exposure to a source of ionizing radiation that is external to the body versus an exposure that comes from the ingestion of radionuclides that provide a chronic, long-term internal exposure to living cells which are adjacent to the radioactive atoms or particles. In the land surrounding Chernobyl and Fukushima, the primary route of internal exposure is through the ingestion of foodstuffs contaminated with cesium-137, which tends to bioaccumulate in plants and animals. What this means is that cesium-137 cannot be excreted faster than it's being ingested. Thus, it accumulates and increases in its concentration in the plant or animal that's routinely ingesting it. Cesium-137 also tends to biomagnify as it moves up the food chain. This means it becomes progressively more concentrated in predator species. We've seen this before with other industrial toxins, such as DDT, which can magnify its concentration millions of times from the bottom to the top of a food chain. Consequently, all of the foodstuffs in a contaminated region tend to contain cesium-137. Those naturally rich in potassium, such as mushrooms and berries, tend to have very high concentrations. Dairy products and meats also tend to have higher concentrations. The International Commission on Radiological Protection, the ICRP, which sets radiation safety standards, recognizes that cesium-137 bioaccumulates in humans. This ICRP figure compares a single ingestion of 1,000 becquerels of cesium-137, a one-time exposure, with a daily ingestion of 10 becquerels. On a single exposure, notice that half the cesium-137 is gone from the body in 110 days. That's considered the biological half-life. Note also that with a routine daily ingestion of 10 becquerels of cesium-137, the total radioactivity within the body continues to rise until after about 500 days, there are more than 1,400 becquerels of radioactivity measured in the body. Becquerels can be counted in living persons because cesium-137, the decay of cesium-137, emits gamma radiation, which passes through the body and can be measured by a whole body counter. So they have a chair that kids can sit in, or anyone, and they can calculate the amount of becquerels per kilogram of body weight. So in a 70-kilogram adult, based on this, a total body activity of 1,400 becquerels would correspond to 20 becquerels per kilogram of body weight. And a 20-kilogram child would be 70 becquerels per kilogram of body weight. The ICRP document does not specify the average age or weight of those examined in the study. However, the safety standards that have been set by the nuclear industry do not consider this level of chronic exposure to so-called low-dose radiation to be a significant danger to human health. The ICRP states in this document that a whole body activity of 1,400 becquerels is equivalent to an exposure 1/10 of millisievert per year. In other words, the radiation models used by radiation biologists to convert this level of internal absorbed dose to effective dose do not predict serious health risks from such exposures. In fact, they stated it's safe to have 10 times this exposure level. There is, however, strong evidence that the ingestion of these levels of so-called low-dose radiation are, in fact, particularly injurious to children. Research done by Dr. Yuri Banachevsky and his colleagues and students in Belarus during the period 1991 through 1999 correlated whole body radiation levels of 10 to 30 becquerels per kilogram of whole body weight with abnormal heart rhythms and levels of 50 becquerels per kilogram of body weight with irreversible damage to the tissues of the heart and other vital organs.
This is Radio Ecoshock. Our speaker is Stephen Starr on cesium after nuclear accidents.
One of the key discoveries made by Jim Banachevsky was that cesium-137 bioconcentrates in the endocrine and heart tissues, as well as the pancreas, kidneys, and intestines. This goes completely against one of the primary assumptions used by the ICRP to calculate effective dose as measured by millisieverts, that cesium-137 is uniformly distributed in human tissues. Let me restate that. The current ICRP methodology is to assume that the absorbed dose is uniformly distributed in human tissues. This is, in fact, not the case. The table taken from Banachevsky's chronic cesium-137 incorporation in children's organs compares the radioactivity measured in 13 organs of 6 infants. Very high specific activity, that is, levels of radioactivity, often 10 times higher than in other organs of tissues were found in the pancreas, thyroid, adrenal glands, heart, and intestinal walls. Banachevsky summarized his 9 years of research in the study entitled Radioactive Cesium in the Heart. With the help of friends, I've just finished editing a new Russian-English translation of this work. It was never previously translated, in large part because shortly after Dr. Banachevsky presented it to the parliament and the president of Belarus, he was summarily arrested and imprisoned. Government agents entered the medical institute, which he directed, and destroyed his archived slides and samples. After he was released from prison, he was held under house arrest. It was during this time that he actually wrote the study. He did so in an attempt to preserve his research, knowing that he was about to be in prison again for a very long time. Just as Soviet physicians were forbidden to diagnose a radiation-related illness following Chernobyl, the Belarusian government acted to suppress the work of Banduchesky, who had been protesting government efforts to resettle people back into land badly contaminated with cesium-137. In radioactive cesium in the heart, Banduchesky also did a correlation between the amount of cesium-137 in live children and their heart function. He worked with the Bellarat Institute, which conducted more than 100,000 whole body counts in Belarusian children, measuring the amounts of internally ingested cesium-137 in each child. There were so many contaminated children in Belarus that it was difficult to find any with zero becquerels per kilogram. However, only those with less than 10 becquerels per kilogram of body weight had normal electrocardiograms. 35% of the children with 11 to 37 becquerels per kilogram had normal ECGs. 20% of children with 37 to 74 becquerels per kilogram had normal ECGs, and only 11% of those with 74 to 100 becquerels per kilogram had normal ECGs. This slide, which shows the average results from hundreds of autopsies done during 1997, is also taken from radioactive cesium in the heart. Notice a very high concentration of cesium-137 in the thyroid gland. While we generally worry about radioactive iodine concentrating in the thyroid, Banduchesky's work shows us that cesium-137 is likely to play a major role in thyroid cancer, too. I want to point out again that the currently accepted medical and legal understanding of cesium-137 is that it is, quote, distributed fairly uniformly, unquote, in human tissues. I copied the webpage from the U.S. EPA website in which this quote is taken. Clearly, the autopsy human tissue samples analyzed by Banduchesky show that this is not the case. This new understanding needs to be incorporated into the way we understand how internally ingested radionuclides act upon the human body. 2 million people in Belarus live on land severely contaminated by cesium-137. Most of the children who live there are not considered to be healthy, although they were before the nuclear power plant at Chernobyl exploded. 14 years after the explosion, 45 to 40% of high school graduates had physical disorders, including gastrointestinal anomalies, weakened hearts, and cataracts, and 40% were diagnosed with chronic blood disorders and malfunctioning thyroids. I'm afraid that there are many Japanese people now living on lands equally contaminated with radioactive cesium. If Japanese children are allowed to routinely ingest foodstuffs contaminated with cesium-137, they will likely develop the same health problems that we see now in the children and teenagers of Belarus and Ukraine. Thus, it's very important that we recognize the danger posed to children by the routine ingestion of contaminated food with cesium-137. Wherever they might live. It's also important to prevent further nuclear disasters which release these fiendishly toxic poisons into the global ecosystems. Given the immense amounts of long-lived radionuclides which exist at every nuclear power plant, this is an urgent task. I hope I've made it clear that long-lived radionuclides produced by nuclear power plants are neither safe nor clean. What suggests that it's a very bad idea to manufacture these nuclear poisons to try to make electricity. That it's past time we stop manufacturing them and try to manage those which we have already created, which must be isolated from the ecosystems for at least 100,000 years.
Yeah, we forget about things sometimes because it's just not in our face, even though it's still circulating around. And then we wonder why there's people that are having repercussions from other conditions that have been going on with them. Yeah, it's been something else that we don't have a clue about, that we're just up against. And they knew it. That's right, they knew it. They didn't care. Why would they care? They want to see us useless eaters gone. Want to see is gone because we're just nothing. They want robots and they want things like themselves who cannot have an emotional bond with another individual or other things of those natures. So, just sad and scary that we're even allowed to be the humans that we are. So you got to fight for your right to exist. Fight for your right to be able to sing and dance and laugh. To not want to have to put up with these things that are not in your favor. No, it seems like sometimes that's a lot to ask for. That we can just basically, oh my gosh, have... have peace of reality that we are here for a reason. And that there are bigger things that are out there helping us. We just don't know it yet. Just don't. Jet. No. Let's see. I don't know how many minutes this is, but it'll probably be the next one. Oh yeah, this will be the last video. When we get back from the break, but please, people, try to find some happiness somewhere, some warm fuzzies to share with others. And definitely a smile for yourself to melt that cold, hardened heart. Because I know it's not easy trying to know these things and try to live a life that is in your favor. It is not easy. Nope. Not easy at all.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive. But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back! torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
I really hope people can find some peace through all this bullshit. Seriously.
All right, so this is crazy. Dr. Robert Young found a parasite in the Pfizer vaccine. He found something that was living, an organism. So he tested many of these vaccines, and he found a parasite. This is what the parasite looks like. It's a 50 micron parasite, as seen, is a sharp, mysterious presence in the Pfizer vaccine, identified to be Typanosoma, I can't pronounce it, so that's what it says, of which several variants are lethal and is one of many causes of acquired immune deficiency syndrome or AIDS. So this kind of spun me out, but that's what he found. And this is what it looks like. So if you compare this, this parasite to this, it's the same thing. Showing an identical side-by-side micrograph comparison of this parasite with what was discovered in the Pfizer vaccine.
Good morning, the MSF med students. Our topic for today is about Trypanosoma cruzi. This vector-borne parasite is common in the Latin, Central, and South America, causing American trypanosomiasis or Chagas disease. The infective stage to human is metacyclic trypomastigote. The diagnostic stages are trypomastigote in the blood smear and mastigote in tissue biopsy. We will discuss these stages later. This parasite undergo multiplication by binary fission as mastigote in human and longitudinal fission as epimastigote in the vector. The reserva hosts of Trypanosoma cruzi are domestic animals, armadillo, raccoons, and other animals. Infection is generally intracellular, commonly affecting the cardiomyocytes and cells of the reticuloendothelial system. Other tissues affected are esophagus, intestinal mucosa, among others. This is the triatomin or redovid or kissing bug. It is also called kissing bug because it tends to bite the face of the host. It is dark brown to black with small tan edge around its abdominal region. Wings are held flat over the back at rest, and its beak extends backward below the body. This picture shows to you the different genera of vectors of Trypanosoma cruzi.
I don't know what happened. Just quit playing. Okay then. Why it just quit playing, I have no idea. And that's something. And it's not showing me that it's playing or not. That's just weird. Weird. Just one of them Thursdays, right? Thursday all day, I'm telling you. just didn't feel like continuing for some reason. No clue why. But it's sad to think that we have to have concerns about parasites. Yep. Things that just suck off of us, take our energies. Oh, it sounds like government. And just leave us tired and exhausted and just, oh my gosh. Completely drained. How do they get their batteries flipping full if they're draining us? I don't get that. But then again, I just don't want us to know that we can fight back and change these conditions and things that are going on. Yep. Yep, trying to see if there's something else real quick here. Yep. I guess I'm going to have to go to, here, let's see. Bringing this. The whole computer is kind of like going, no, you're not allowed. Don't go there. No, we're going to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So, this Tryptosomia. I mean, I've never heard of that parasite, but then again, I'm not a physician that has had to be concerned about parasites, even though I take anti-parasitical herbs. They even call some of the cancers parasites and fungus and things like that. Kinds of things that just seem to be in our way for being human beings. Yeah, we have good parasites too, though, that really normally probably kill the bad parasites, but we don't know what's going on, right? Pardon me, no clue about what's going on sometimes. Yep, you just don't always know. But I know at least here, some of us care enough to try to let you know what is occurring, what it is that is doing us in one way or another. Yep. Yep. Just for the sake of better off knowing than not knowing, at least in my mind. Yep, but that rad stuff, and I didn't realize that we were still going under all that radioactive stuff from Fukushima. Yeah, for how long now? Jeez. Really, for how long now? Has it been 10 years, 11 years? So everybody that's been out west for the longest time, because watching that cloud disperse over the water and the land area, yeah, we've been going through it for quite some time. So we can't just blame everything on chemtrails, can we? Yep. You can blame a lot of it on Fukushima. And we're eating the produce, at least if the produce is there, from the West Coast or any place like that. Just imagine Hawaii. They've had it first for the longest time. And Alaska. And everywhere else along the West Coast. Yep. But time will tell if, I mean, have we had we have had so much to work through. And I want to say I've appreciated my time being here. Yes. I have.
Have you noticed all the tyranny happening in the world right now? Authoritarian regimes demanding obedience so they can take over, trying to create two classes of citizens with their passports and mandates, violating all your constitutional rights. And maybe you've been pretending like nothing's happening because you're afraid to speak out. Well, I just want you to know that's great. It would be wrong to speak out at a time like this. Here's why. For starters, speaking out means you could lose some people's approval, and that would be really scary for you. That's why you shouldn't do it, because of your fear. And therefore, not speaking out means you'll gain the approval of people who approve of living in fear. Speaking out requires bravery, and nobody respects people who are brave. They only respect those who are agreeable all the time. And if you can stay in line with the agreeability of tyrants, then you know you're doing good work in the world because you're aligned with tyrants. I get it. You don't want to speak out because you're afraid you might lose some things like a job, friends, your status quo. And if you look at tyrannical regimes and how they work, you'll see that by not speaking out in order to protect yourself from losing those things, then eventually you'll lose everything. But who cares? At least you'll still be agreeable. When evil and abuse are happening to people, the heroes of society see it and do nothing. You're a hero who doesn't want to help people to protect your own self-interest. Keep it up. In Vegas, the Clark County Commission voted on and passed a resolution banning free speech. And the White House is telling Facebook what to censor. This is objectively the government taking away your First Amendment right to free speech. And you not speaking out about it now while you have the chance helps create a better world where you can't speak out about it, even if you wanted to. It's all for your protection, right? So, of course, you wouldn't want to speak out against such helpful protection. In Australia, government soldiers are shooting people with rubber bullets for peacefully protesting against their mandates, and they're forcefully locking people in their homes. Here, they've thrown a 74-year-old woman to the ground and are dousing her in pepper spray. Can we all just please agree this is still for our protection? Because if we can agree on that, then we won't have to be inconvenienced by standing up for our rights. The authorities are violating everyone's constitutional rights by, amongst other things, closing businesses, closing churches, and forcing children to cover their faces. And you should continue not speaking up about it, because they don't want you to. It's like the abusers will be implementing a social credit system. And by watching it all happen while you're doing and saying nothing, you're already earning yourself a good social credit score, which keeps you in good standing with the abusers rather than being in good standing with good people. If Hollywood celebrities who will be kicked out of the industry for not following the mainstream narrative are telling you to shut up and follow the mainstream narrative, I think it's a good idea to shut up and follow the mainstream narrative. If someone who's sold their soul for money is telling you to do something because they were paid money to tell you to do that something, then I think it's a good idea for you to do that something. Maybe you're an influencer that doesn't want to disturb their following so you don't risk losing the comfortable life you have. You, of all people, should not be speaking out, because unapologetically standing for what's right might put you at risk of actually earning your audience's respect. Banning people from participating in society isn't an issue you should speak up on, because then they might think you're one of them. So instead, when you look at the days when blacks had less rights, women had no rights, and the Nazis were discriminating against Jews from participating in normal society, you'll want to do your best to believe that this time it's a good idea. And it is a good idea because it's for your protection. The same way whites were protected from blacks and Germans were protected from Jews. So it's like that. One day they'll probably make movies about people like you who stood by doing nothing while society was divided and destroyed by authoritarians. So like Schindler's List. They made a movie about a guy who helped save the lives of people who were being discriminated against. But that's not very relatable to you. Wouldn't you rather watch a movie about the people who just shut up and turned in their neighbors? If you did speak out, it might have been cool one day to have your kids and grandkids thank you for fighting for their freedom. But instead, thanks to your willingness to not speak up for their freedom because you're too scared, your kids and grandkids might not ever know what freedom is. Because of you. I think with all that's going on in the world right now, the right thing to do is to just shut up and let it happen. If you've been standing on the sidelines doing nothing, even though things don't quite seem right to you, just keep standing there. Because if something really needs to be done, then someone else will do it. Right? What's up, my friend? Quick message from my heart to yours. I know we're living in a very unique time in history where unquestionably there's ill-intentioned people trying to take away. Joe Rogan hates people, and it's wrong to hate people, so I hate Joe Rogan. And everything CNN makes up about him is true. And you should hate him too, so here's 9 reasons why Joe Rogan should be canceled. He makes me so angry, I am literally shaking right now. Number 1. He promotes ivermectin. He got sick and took a horse deworming drug, which proves he's a horse, not a human. Rogan said the horse deworming drug has received pushback from people where they're pretending it doesn't work because in order for the shot to have emergency use authorization, there can't be any other treatments for the virus. He says there might be a grand conspiracy where pharmaceutical companies are in cahoots to make anybody who takes the drug look crazy, but pharmaceutical companies wouldn't do anything like that. Joe Rogan's clearly trying to turn innocent people into sick horses. He's transphobic. Joe Rogan hates trans people. He doesn't want biological men fighting women in MMA, which means he's transphobical. So much so that he's also transformer-phobic, transaction-phobic, trans-arachnophobia-ic, trans-fat-phobic, and he also refuses to drive a Trans Am on the basis of his hate. Hatred for trans people in the automobile community. And I'm pretty sure he removed the transmission from his own car. He has no idea what the reality is like to have an imaginary vagina living beneath his binary balls. He's death phobic. Joe Rogan hates deaf people so much. Him doing a podcast which requires you to hear is deliberately uninclusive to the deaf community. It's a macroaggression against them that they'll never know about because they can't hear it. He's fat phobic. Joe Rogan works out and is in great shape because he doesn't want to be fat because he hates fat people. Him setting the example of hard work and dedication to being in good health sets a terrible example for non-aborted offspring of birthing people. Joe Rogan committing hate crimes against fat people all around the world by exercising sets the body positivity movement back at least 3,000 years. Joe Rogan spreads misinformation by suggesting it's somehow healthier to be in good health. And nowhere in the biological science-ness of identity politics has that ever been proven. Yeah, it's just as healthy to be obese. It's not healthier. He's a murderer! If you look at Joe Rogan's Instagram, you'll see he routinely kills elks. I identify elk as people, which means he kills people. And he eats them, which also proves he's a cannibal. He appropriates chemo culture. Joe Rogan's bald, which means he's appropriating the culture of people on chemotherapy. What kind of sick person does that to sick people on purpose like that? I'm personally offended. I'm currently on chemotherapy, even though I don't have cancer. I just think it's a good idea that treat all illnesses that aren't currently affecting me. It's the considerate thing to do, because it's not just about you. He's boring phobic. Joe Rogan's a comedian, which means he's uninclusive to boring people that don't have a good sense of humor. Him being funny is white supremacy against them. I don't know why he's so supremacically white against boring people. Everybody menstruates. They sure do. He's an ableist. He has tattoos covering both arms, which makes him an arm-based ableist because some people don't have arms. Yeah, he's clearly discriminating against the double apple tree community by having arms. He's dictatorship phobic. Joe Rogan spoke out against medical passports because he says they're a step closer to a dictatorship. He clearly hates dictators. Mao, Stalin, the Chinese Communist Party, the Taliban are all good people concerned about climate change. Joe Rogan has no business being oppressive to their murderous regimes. Starting today, I hereby mandate that Joe Rogan is canceled. I'm severely confused as a person, so I try to aggressively change your mind about things to give me a false sense of certainty. And you can too. When it comes to Joe Rogan, just say no. Feels like we made a difference here today.
My wife left me. She took everything.
But she didn't take my blue blocks. My wife didn't actually leave me, but she might after she sees this advertisement. But I'll...
I wish everybody would just try to find something that would make their heart sing. And that we can basically all get forward and stand up for ourselves and our rights to not allow these things to continue on as they've been doing. I've been watching a lot of different situations that basically there are changes being had out there. There are people getting off the couch and out of their chairs and going and trying to make a difference and a change, no matter what the inside, no matter what could be part of the conclusions of things that, like being in fear of cops taking over because you're standing out there trying to speak for yourself and make things a lot more less complicated by bringing in the facts behind the reality, by setting the truth free, by making sure that you are giving something back and not just hiding. Because hiding is not going to make the changes happen. Nope. And we've got to stop letting these changes happen, because it's just not going to help us at all. No, we have to make them know that we will fight for our lives and our children. I saw a video today of a kindergartner. And he didn't want to put that effing mask on. Oh, heck no, he was fighting and screaming and yelling. He didn't want that mask on. Oh, heck no. He's like, get this thing off of me. How dare you? And of course, he's just saying, no, every time they pull it up on his face, and then they tried to bribe him. But you could go out and play if you put this mask on. I mean, the guy's barely 5 years old, and he knows what's going on. And he's like, F you. He didn't say that, but to the idea that these adults really are falling for the crap that supposedly, oh, it's only by adults saying that you should do it, and they need to investigate and find out that the mask doesn't do a dang thing. It just proves that you're willing to become a slave to somebody else's system in their reality of enslavement. Well, that just doesn't make sense to me. So, it's actually shameful that you would put a child in a face mask that basically has nothing to do with reality. Nope, has nothing to do with reality, because reality says that the masks don't work. So you're trying to teach the young ones, the children, that they got to be enslaved to be alive. Like, what? I mean, seriously, that's just crock of crap. And any parents that fall for that, they're just committing child abuse. That's all there is to it. And if you can't figure out a different way to help keep your child safe and strong and maybe get some kind of an education, then what are you doing here on this planet, human being? Are you really a human being? Just saying. get your heads out of the sand and start working for the future of humanity. No, throw that 60-year-old woman down to the ground and pepper spray her because she doesn't want to follow your dictatorial, well, you know what I mean, tyranny of existence. Yeah. Have a good one, y'all. Later.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
You're going back in?
There's still men out there. God. When I go home, people ask me, hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie? I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution.